Everybody's going home except me. Bruce said he was going to come back after going for a bit of a walk. Robin said he bought more Dogecoin. Went down to like 1580 or something. It's not bad. Did you get it below 16, Robin? Hopefully. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Yes, every what's up? Like, it's interesting. Like, your title is really interesting, man. So
I'm stuck at the airport. Is what it is. It's terrible. It's like middle of the night, and my plane got big time delayed from technical problems and weather, and I don't know what else.
Oh man, like it's a serious issue, man. Like, oh, so okay.
Sitting here bored.
Oh my goodness! And nowadays they are not offering the hotels too, right? I'm not sure. Like,
well, it's. The flight moved from like a 5 o'clock flight to midnight. So if I take a hotel and like stay for the next day, it's like a much, I'll be going home the following evening. It's just much longer. So I decided to just go, just like live at the airport. Who cares? I was already doing night shifts for the past 2 weeks anyway, so it didn't really matter. Like my mind is not fully bothered by this, like lack of sleep. Because I wasn't sleeping at this time anyway for this last 10 days or so. Anyway, Robin, did you see you pick up some Doge for this dip?
Hey, Seffy. How are you doing today, Seffy? You a little good, stressed out about the airport?
No, of course not. Isn't like these things don't bother me. Just relax.
Honestly, it's surprised that no one's talking about crypto. I mean, have they? No, just kidding. it makes sense why they're not. It makes sense. I was over at my place where I usually hang out, and I do run into people that do talk about crypto. And they were talking about Solana, and they were talking about the meme coins. And these people have been in it for a while too, before I have. So they're jumping on Solana and everything, but they didn't know anything about, they didn't know very much about what Doge is going to do and what it could do. So I was telling them a little bit about Doge to $1 and how to possibly get to like $1.40 through using the total three chart. So when it dipped down, I got some at like basically at 16 cents, like right at 16 cents. And I got enough where if it were to make like a really, really good 10X, I'm guessing by September, just listening to like the Because Bitcoin people. And I was like watching the YouTube for like 40 minutes and he was describing it. So he says somewhere by around September, that is when Doge should get over a dollar. So if when that happens, I'll be getting a new car. So that's what's happening.
The simple time frame here is that 2020 Bitcoin breaks all time high. Dogecoin and altcoins generally. Ethereum Classic, Doge, and Litecoin, a bunch of stuff, started running exactly 3 to 4 weeks after BTC broke high. So now we've had 1 week after Bitcoin high. And now, like, way more people are going to be talking about crypto because that's just how this works. The break of high is like news for all the existing insiders. And most of the insiders are already up 4 or 5X on various portfolio positions. So the people who are already here are going to start getting euphoric, but the outsiders just barely know that crypto is even a thing. Like, they just like, oh, how high did it go? And they don't even know. So they're going to show up about, I would say, about 2 more weeks from now. And then if I'm correct, like, what you should see is prices start floating up. Really for mainly in April, you should start seeing like some serious action. And then like last season, at least, it took till about May of 2021. So starting in November, ending in, I think, May, you had 5 to 6 months of growth period. So where does that put us? We're, that'd be like April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, right about September is where I'm thinking that would take us in terms of the time it takes to pump everything. You know, could it be slower? Sure. Like, let's say people are broke that have money or something. You may have consolidation periods that are longer or something like that. So you never really know for sure like how it plays out. But in the past, the strongest sort of giga pump for like these layer one chains came first, and it came right as BTC crossed high. So all the proof of work chains popped off at that point. So that's kind of where we are now. And I think the rationale for it is that like these things are all available on centralized exchanges. So as soon as all the newbies show up, they just start pushing buttons. They don't necessarily know about the latest, a lot of meme coin or whatever automatically. A lot of people just show up and they just download the apps. Oh, crypto's hot right now. And they'll just sort of bid up everything just by pushing by. They don't know the charts or anything. Mm. So we're at that time now for Doge and stuff like that. And my thesis for Doge is everyone knows what it is. And everyone knows that the whole game is to pump the fuck out of it. So, you know, I think like even crypto natives are starting to buy in now that it had its first move off the bottom. And each bump it has up, it's going to have to attract more and more attention, right? So, yeah, I think it's going to run. But yeah, I would agree that like September and such is right about that time. And
yeah, Ksefi, it's I think I told you this.
One other thing, by the way, last season, yeah, Bitcoin had a top around April, I believe, and then these alts in particular didn't top till May. So there's a little bit more juice left in the tank, even though BTC is already dipping by then. Of course, you wouldn't have known BTC was going to be like ending its run right there and then like falling back a whole bunch. But, you know, at that moment, you wouldn't have known. But just notice that the alts ran about a month after BTC was already dumped a lot. So anyway.
Yeah. You remember last weekend, too, when we were all talking. We were trying to not front run, but get ahead of or time ETF inflows for Monday. Do you think that's going to happen again on Monday? Because Monday was a very good day for BTC. I wonder if he got on the plane.
Yeah. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you now.
I somehow hit the mute button or some shit. I didn't get on the plane. I'm just sitting out in the seats. It worked out for us last time real well in terms of timing. I ended up being kind of right about the weekend and just right up until stock opening, you know, the thing gets bid up and then all that. And the volumes for the ETF has been super hot. Like more people at JP Morgan own Bitcoin ETF than they do gold, apparently, in the ETF. So BTC could have like some sort of gigantic giga run. So I think it's quite possible we're going to underestimate how strong it's going to do this time because we got burned by double top last time. But it could run quite a lot more than we might imagine, given the very high volumes. I mean, someone mentioned that the volume on the BTC ETF was higher than the SPY, which is the ETF for the S&P 500. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was in one of those trading spaces, crypto traders, Marty Pants or Marty Party. I guess he was looking at the volume. I don't know how true it was what he said, but he said this was this today was like the most volume that was traded, like a record most volume traded. I don't know how true that is, but he was pretty shocked by it.
That's about right. Record volumes happening, and record volumes is not always a good thing. Record volumes can also mean like the top. So
exactly, it doesn't. Record volume doesn't mean One Direction.
Prefer that things go up in low volume. As you get higher and higher, like the higher the volume goes, the more likely that you've hit the top. So
yeah, I'm with you. So Seffy, you might appreciate this. The loyalty to this super cycle that I'm in. So I had the opportunity to either purchase my vehicle outright because I was on a lease and purchase it outright, or renew another lease, or just walk away from it. So instead of purchasing my car, I'm just gonna walk away from it, save that money that I would have used to buy the car, and just live in this nice downtown area till September. When just
walk around.
Yeah, because there's a Fry's underneath me. There's like CVS. Like everything is walking distance. Like
You don't want to fade. You don't want to fade a bull market and then like buy a fucking car, unless you.
I know. I was like, am I gonna remember this as like, oh yeah, last bull market I went and bought a pretty standard car where I could have put that money into, you know, other things, other cryptos, other assets, you know, blockchain and all that fun stuff. And I was like,
you're echoing my last cycle where I sold one of my two motorcycles to get some more Ethereum.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy Solana instead of Ethereum.
What price did you get in on the on your ETH at that time?
Oh, I was accumulating in like the hundreds and 200s.
Yeah, nice.
I was also doing a little food delivery on the side on top of software engineering because I wanted every little ETH I could get.
Yeah. No, there's a time and a place for that sort of thing, for sure. Like, it's timing's everything at these bear markets. It's like sell your kidney time or whatever, you know.
Did it work out for you, Ryan, or was it? I know you've, it sounds like you've been there for a little bit, but how did that work out for you?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. If you can buy $100 to $200 Ethereum, do it. If you ever get the chance again, do it. You won't, but yeah, it worked out.
I think Solana might be that type of bet now.
Well, it's, I don't know. Like, what's its market cap now? Let me see here. Let's see. Sol today is like
the reason why you're looking
is 83 mil now. Yeah.
While you're looking that up, the reason I say that is because my buddies that were in DeFi summer for Ethereum, they're all using Solana now. So I was like, whoa, is this going to be like a Sol summer now?
Yeah. I mean, if you 5x Sol from here, you'll be equivalent to Ethereum in market cap. I think that's feasible, but also ETH is going to rise in its market cap also, probably. It wouldn't surprise me if ETH easily does like a 2x. I don't know about easily, but like you're starting to get into lofty valuations. But yeah, I mean, for ETH to hit 10K is very feasible. And then for Solana to do like a 5x from here would put it at the next FIB level up on the log scale above its all-time high of like 250 or 260 or whatever. So that's rational. Having a little Solana bag for the ride is not unreasonable. But the thing is, here's the thing. If ETH and Solana do this, there's a lot of coins that are going to make like a lot higher gains because the small market cap stuff will all absolutely explode. Because what's going to happen is people are going to like be like, oh, wait, like I've gotten most of my gains out of this thing. I need to go sell it and go do something else. You're going to get like serious altcoin rotation. And that's why I went and bought like a variety of just random like 100 million market cap and below stuff, because it just doesn't take that much money to move those, and you can make wild multiples with small amounts of money on those things. So
So, and thematically, yeah, were you grabbing those random ones within the ecosystem or ecosystems of your choice?
No, this last round last week that I bought everything just somewhat randomly. I bought some like Aerodrome, which is from Base. What I did was I was on a space the other night and I was like, let's just go through Coinbase, go through every asset on here and go like, which one of these looks like it's, got a chart that hasn't run up too much. Which one of these has like a reasonable, circulating cap versus a FDV type number. And I just kind of went and just picked like, you know, a dozen different coins or half dozen coins or whatever, and just like added to those. And then with this dip, I just, I topped them all off, so that I have a nice like position, all of those. And those are the one, those smaller cap things, like what was one of them, Rarified or whatever. It's still at the price that I bought it at, RARI, for example. It's like a little NFT thing. NFTs tend to run late and stuff. So they're going to run like after ETH and Solana, whatever, and all these other little platforms. People are just going to look for, you know, stuff that hasn't run so they can gamble, right? Because they're going
to right, see all the different... It's like they refer to the wealth effect here.
Yeah. The wealth. Yeah, exactly. You got a bunch of rich people and they got to do some shit with their money. And they'll throw small amounts at like microcaps and stuff and they'll moon because they have a lot of money, right? Like, if you're wealthy in one thing, and then it's very easy to like even modest amounts of money to start pumping coins to insane levels. So I think that will happen again with a very high probability. Like, it doesn't even matter what you pick up at the microcaps. Like, my suspicion is that practically everything's going to pump. So if you're like have a small amount of money and you're looking to like get a 5x, like, I don't know, Solana doesn't make any sense to me to do that. So Solana was good if you bought it like, you know, sub $50, you know, or sub 20 even, if you were here during the bear market. But now, like, I think there's better plays for small quantities of money. Now, if it's a large amount of money, you're like, hey, I've got like $1 million and I got to park it somewhere. You're probably not going to go too wrong with Solana, more than likely, if you just wait for the next 6 months. It's kind of, you know, my thinking.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But yeah, the spa and the rarity, I couldn't hear you. I dropped back out, came back up. But I bought the spa and the rarity, and that was really smart. I mean, that was great. You were just looking through those and on Coinbase, and those were the only ones that you got?
Well, I just got some, like, first off, I don't even want to know what these do. I made that
clear. Yeah,
like, I don't
want to
know.
No idea.
And you know why I don't want to know? Because I don't want to marry these things at all. I'm like, when the time comes and I'm in the mood to sell it, like, oh, look, it went up. I want to sell. Fine. So, you know, they do a 10X or whatever, which I think at these market caps, it's fairly readily possible to do that. But I picked up Aero, Rari, Storage, Blur, Spa, an Engine coin in like similar proportions, a Metis, and Metis, METIS, and so I grabbed small bags of them, nothing of serious importance. A larger bag I got of Ethereum Classic, and an even larger bag I got of Doge. And I think what will happen with ETH Classic is it'll run pretty much right after Ethereum breaks all time high soon. I think that'll run, and I think that will probably be, if I had to guess, within the next month, is kind of the timing. So ETH Classic, Doge, Litecoin, all this shit is like priced, like primed to move. I think they'll go move in the next month, along with the break of ETH and the break of Solana here, which I think the Solana break of all time high is not very far away either. It's like 260 right now, or 180, but not a bad idea to have a bag just because you know it's going to go up. It's outperforming the market, so it's fine. And you can ride it up a little bit and then sell it if you, you know, whatever. So I think that's a pretty decent play. In fact, if Solana runs first, and like, let's say it goes to all-time high within the next 2 weeks, which, by the way, these things can move that fast. It's like 260 from 180. Then I'll probably get rid of my little bag of Solana, and then dump into some, like, that same amount of money into something else that is much
a lot
more
of
market cap.
Steffi, a lot of people are thinking that are doing the, you know, on Sol and transacting on Sol a lot, especially in that Marty Party space, they think the psychological number for SOL is going to be 200. It dumps at 200 and then just tankers right or tanks through onto like two, you know, four hit no eight all time high. So my idea was going to purchase once right before 200 and then.
Now I'm not really trading at short term intervals to worry about.
To worry about things like
timing those exact things. Yeah, sure. Psychological targets certainly have an impact, like 200 and stuff. But there's really no fib level resistance. There's no fib level left between this level and 250. So I think there's really no fundamental resistance and very relatively little Solana is traded above 200. So really you're talking about like, even if you have a bit of a dip there, it won't last very long. I think like it's mostly up only till you hit numbers that are probably closer to, like it depends. Like I think you're probably going to get a run where it just keeps on climbing to something like the next FIB extension, which is like 600-ish. That puts it at today's ETH market cap. Can it get there? Yeah, I think so. I mean, ETH did it. Like there's no obvious reason why Solana can't. I'd also do something like that. And it seems to be the popular play this season, right? So, and then I'll just take whatever I gain from that Solana bag. And I may not run it up that high. Like, I might just dump it at like, I don't know, 400, you know, 350 to 400 area, get rid of it, especially if a lot of the other market hasn't run quite yet and I see other opportunities. If I don't see another opportunity, I'm like, I don't really know. I don't have a good sense that, you know, there's a better buy here. I'll just let it run. Right. So at that point, it depends. Because here's the thing, like if you're already at like Solana 400, what are you going to eke out? You're going to get a little bit more gain by going to 600. Or are you going to go to something else and then get another like 5x or something somewhere? So yeah, it depends on how much money you're playing with in the
yeah. The rotation is Solana from what I've understand right now. The rotation is Solana to Say, then to Near. That's kind of
the rotation. I don't know about that. I'm not sure what's exciting about. Say
or injective, then Say, then Near.
Yeah.
People were talking about that for like hours.
I think all of those are kind of similar. Like, there's nothing so exotic about any one of those. They're going to basically have, yeah, they'll have money flowing to them. But, I'm not sure like what the narrative would be around Near, for example, except for just pure pump, just for the fun of it.
I'm spreading some of that out. So I will be spreading it out with those four, but you can
certainly get yourself some. I had Say at the very beginning, like when it first came out.
I
already sold it after a game there and dumped it into like Zephyr or something and then made some extra gain over there already. So did fine either way. Yes, Near is already at like a 7.6 billion market cap. It's pretty high already, actually, for what it is. Now it went higher last season, like $20. Does it do the same again with like just kind of wild valuations? It's possible, I suppose. But again, like these are things that you like only make sense if you bought them during the bear market. Like at this point, they're kind of whatever to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you bought this. Like what was Near? Like, it's currently at $7.34. And it was as low as like a dollar or whatever. It's up 700%, right? Like, so it's okay, but like you might get a better outcome. But if you don't care either way, you might get a better outcome by picking some microcap things. They can travel a lot higher in return on. Like, you know, how much they're going to pump and stuff. So, like, another popular one among Twitter crowd is like Alephium seems to be pretty popular. I'm not sure what its use case is. Or
I think Solana is going to go way higher, though. Once it pops its all-time high, I think it's going
to I think it'll go to about 600-ish, if I had to guess, by the FIB extensions.
Yeah,
which is quite high.
I think it's
it'll be Ethereum's current market cap if it goes to that.
I think most basically. Of the unlocks don't start until 2025 springtime. So that's where the FTX, the whole bags, you know, all this shit actually comes liquid.
I see.
Yeah. Mm. So they have to run it up before, right? So I wouldn't be surprised to see this at $1,000 actually.
Just because it's a Lethium, it's a Lethium thing. ALPH is like 184 mil market cap. And it's pulled back from like $3.80 down to $2.53. So it's kind of pulled back, similar to how Zephyr pulled back. And it's some kind of layer one as well. My point being that if you're going to pick layer ones and you're not married to that particular ecosystem, you might as well pick the thing with the lower market cap, and that way potentially higher upside. Because once market caps get to a certain size, everyone looks at that and says, hey, like, you know, there's just not much juice left in the tank here. And on top of that, you're going to say to yourself, wait a minute, like, why am I doing this risk? Like, why am I taking the risk buying this thing already after it's run a bunch if it can only do another 2x or 3x or something, right? So you're going to wind up with that thinking, and eventually buyers are going to just stop coming, and you get buyer exhaustion and the price crashes. So, yeah, be looking for the stuff that's relatively low, that will probably pump just because it will, for whatever reason. And I think you should have some bags like that. But yeah, we got about like 2 more weeks about until typically like the Bitcoin excitement reaches the masses a bit more.
How are you? How did you figure that out? The 2 week, 3 week, 4 week expectation. Okay.
2020, Bitcoin breaks high in November. And then by December, about 3 to 4 weeks later, is when Doge and Ethereum Classic and everything took off. It takes about 3-4 weeks. Mainly, it's just achieving virality. It's like, Bitcoin breaks high, people get excited, they tell their friends, right? And then their friends start looking up on Google, oh, crypto, and they start looking, you know, they Google it, and your Google trends start to trend upwards. Doge and the other layer one dino coins, like,
it's way too scientific, city. You just have to say it in ruthless words. It's like, oh, your balls started to tingle, you know, and that's why.
Yeah, your balls started to tingle. That's how I know. It's just like, yeah, it's too analytical, huh? Yeah, I'd give it a month, like something like that. And it's not always the same thing every time, obviously, but that's a pretty typical time frame for this sort of thing. And you already had impulse moves on the proof of work coins like Ethereum Classic, Doge, and whatnot. These things just had their first impulse move just this last, what, couple of weeks, right? So it's definitely beginning. And Doge was at the exact same position now as it was then. And then, of course, things really took off once, you know, a few weeks later. So, yeah, these nice. These pullbacks and stuff get everyone excited. They're like, oh, what's going on here? You know, is the party over? And then, but it takes a few weeks for everyone to show up is what it is. So when all the newbies come in, then you'll know the difference.
Was Googling car manufacturers that had the least amount of recalls, and it looks like it's Mercedes-Benz and Toyota.
Recalls, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Ford surprisingly had a lot of recalls.
I own Toyota stock, and Toyota's just ugly is the only problem. I buy the stock because everyone else wants a Toyota, but I couldn't be caught dead with the actual car. I don't like it at all. They're ugly.
Have you seen the new 2024 Toyota Land Cruiser?
Oh God, I don't think so. Why? You love it?
It looks pretty nice. It looks pretty legit. I don't want to get a Mercedes though. Mm. I know that sounds crazy, but I just don't want one.
Yeah, Mercedes, BMW stuff, too much maintenance shit going on. Like my personal favorite for sort of like least maintenance, most interesting car is probably just a Porsche. not probably. That's my favorite in that category. European cars, especially if you're an American owning one, because like you get a lot of maintenance stuff on BMWs, whatever. They're pricey. They're fine until like you reach certain mileage, and then you're fucked. And then you have to just like, it's not so much the money too. It's like it's paying the ass of dumping off at dealerships, and they have to sit there for God knows how long.
Yeah, the practicality of the Toyota Land Cruiser. I mean, it's big enough where you can like haul things. It's powerful enough where it can get to, you know, to towing things. It's large enough where you can lower the seat so you can, you know, put things in.
Yeah, you shouldn't go for something. You should go for something more practical, not luxury. Luxury shit is if you just have money to waste and you're just like, you know, trying to burn it somehow. but you don't really need to.
So like having that in mind, it was like, so calling the, I know no one knows the tops, right? But I was reading the Bowtie Bull newsletter and they're saying around May might be a good time to, you know, peel off some of the stuff. It might go down. So I was reading that, but then the capital gains is like, ugh. So I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on when you bought. And yeah, exactly. Anyway, who knows? I think through the summer is probably a good time. There'll be some, you know, maybe there's a happening related sell the news type of dip or some other bullshit, but you never know. You may not. Like, if everyone expects a pullback, then a lot of times it doesn't happen. It gets front run. Zoom, are you trying to say something? I think you lost your connection there.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, what you up to?
I am experiencing FOMO like I haven't in years for these runes. Have you heard of the rune stones?
I was in a space this morning while I was in the shower, and I barely heard what they were saying. What are rune stones?
Honestly, I don't know. I think like from an abstract perspective, it's like an airdrop of 100,000 NFTs on Bitcoin. And so a lot of people who have been using ordinals on Bitcoin over the last year have received this airdrop. And now it's kind of like a holding game to see how the price holds up over the next few days as people, you know, check their wallets and, you know, put some on the market.
It's like an ordinal type of thing, and it's going to go through price discovery soon. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely, yeah. So basically, if you held more than 3 ordinals, then you received this airdrop. So there are about 100,000 qualifying wallets. So some people have tons and some people have 1 or 2 or 10.
Yeah, didn't they get like 1 Bitcoin? Or is that what you just said? Some people got like 1 Bitcoin?
So like the airdrop costs like 2 Bitcoin, I think, or a bit more than 2 Bitcoin for the transaction. So it's a huge transaction. But the actual amount that people purchased, I don't think matters. It's just that there needs to be 3.
Okay. What other stuff do you have in the market for this year? Like, what are you holding? You got some stuff you're bullish on?
Yeah, I mean, I think open source technology in general, I think the rise of Bitcoin will elucidate that for a lot of people.
Wait, what do you mean? Like these Bitcoin layer 2 things that people are coming up with now, or what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, open source decentralized networks. It's like, it's not just a weird thing anymore.
Oh, no, what I'm saying is, but do you hold any specific coins that you like going into this market, like that you think are going to do better than others or something?
No, I don't like speculated on too much, or I wouldn't advise anybody on, you know, holding coins.
Oh, so you don't have any crypto or what?
No. So I mean, I guess I try to buy bottoms of things which seem to be, you know, topical.
Okay. No, that's what I'm asking. Do you have some that you've picked up that you care about that we should be looking at?
Well, I think there's, the Bitcoin fork, which took place over like block size, and that will probably be historic. So the Pepe fork.
Like, I'm talking about like Bitcoin Cash or?
Right, yeah. So Bitcoin Cash is something that a lot of market participants are probably not going to have experienced themselves at this point. And so I think like over the long term, like the idea of a fork will become historic. And the like pork token, the Pepe fork token, I think has the ability to at least serve as kind of a humorous like example of a community fork, but not a blockchain fork.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm not sure I follow exactly, but the pork token came from what? The same crowd as people buying Pepe or something? Or
so the Pepe token was popularized by like a person called Polly, and basically the founders of the original Pepe token, or you know, the most popular one currently, like, I don't know, they rugged or they kind of like did something shady, so he started a whole separate
community. Dumping happened at some point, yeah. And yeah. they created this pork thing just for, which stands for what? Pepe fork, right?
Right. So they basically airdropped to anybody that held pork or used their community decks.
Okay. Interesting. The let me see. Market cap's like 178 million. Chart overall looks pretty good. It's consolidated pretty nicely, and yeah, not bad looking as far as like just where it is now. Where do you buy this thing anyway?
So there's a website, PondOX. That'll be the best place probably to get some, but it's interesting to add that it flipped the original Pepe coin in about 36 hours, and there's been a major run in Pepe since then that hasn't been mirrored on pork.
What do you mean it flipped it? Did it like in market cap or something, or what?
Yeah, the market cap. It's not like, you know, total value or volume.
Well, Pepe's way higher market cap. It's like 3.6 billion. Pork is much smaller at 177 million. It definitely didn't flip it. Maybe some other metric you're talking about.
Yes. So look at the date where pork started and the date on the Pepe chart.
Oh, I see. Like you're saying in from the time of start, it's gone faster. It's run up quicker than the original Pepe.
No, like at the time where pork was launched, like there were a few days before the airdrop where it was like on the market, and the price like reached parity with the original Pepe, but then some other force has caused Pepe to, you know, rise. I don't know the details. It's just meme coins.
Yeah, of course. No, it's just for fun. Yeah, there's been some attention on these two things, both Pepe and for pork. So like all it takes is people to run it up and it goes up, right? So
Runestones definitely feels like a much more like possible thing. I don't know. It is not just not a moon bag, like something which seems essential.
Okay. Interesting.
One thing you have to have in mind, if they release new coins, right, the market cap is basically completely bogus because they just provide the liquidity and set it wherever it's at, right? wherever the AMM sets the price at, that's the market cap. So if, even if there's just 100K in the initial liquidity pool, in dollar terms, they can set it at a 12 billion market cap.
Yeah, you need to know what the liquidity is, obviously.
So it's like this basic starting point is your zero in a way, you know, from the market cap. It's just like
a
completely uncalibrated figure. It's kind of fools a lot of people, I think. It's not fooling you, but I mean, it's just like there's nothing that you can derive from that figure, right? You
can especially if the liquidity gets pulled.
Yeah, I mean, like, if
it's
you
not
take
organically, FTV, especially yeah, if it's not organically submitted liquidity, then someone can rug
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you have to check the token contract and look at the FTV actually. You know, if you really want to make some statements and then look how it develops over, let's say, a half year time frame or something, then you can actually get an idea how much liquidity is there. It really is, you know. I mean, if you buy in like $50,000 and you can never exit again, there's a lot of stuff like that going on, right? It's like,
yeah, like market cap and liquidity depth are both relevant, basically, yeah. to coins. Yeah, it's something that most people don't understand when they get into them.
Yeah, so airdrops,
it's fun when there's no liquidity depth early on, because then, you know, it's the thing pumps like crazy. Right? it's super volatile, but there's no actual money to exit. So in theory, what you'd like to see is increasing
volume.
What do you call it? Yeah. You want to increase in liquidity as the price rises is always a good sign, because then there's more and more people going to actually exit with their money. But the price will tend to stabilize.
Look at the volume, right? If the volume constantly rises, that means there's more ways to exit. I mean, of course, there's paper trading too, but usually it's not that easy to just paper trade the volume up. Yeah, well, some guys know how to do it, I guess, you know. But
it's complicated, and it's not guaranteed either. So
yeah, but one thing for sure, if you go into a space and there's a lot of folks around talking about it, I mean, that's still not a bad sign, because there's just some movement there, right?
Yeah, it's hard to generate a sufficient size movement in these things, as far as like developing kind of a viral.
So I think actually that Bitcoin airdrop is kind of interesting. You know, I mean, it's just like it's super liquid. If you get it at the wrong price, like the stupid stone on you know, this, like you pay one Bitcoin for one of these runestone, then you're like, okay, now I try to sell it. You can wait for half a year, no one showing up, right? That's the problem with these with these things, right? Even if the floor price looks well, but just no one wants it.
I think there's opportunities for people that have patience for that shit. I just don't have patience for the NFTs and stuff, like to figure out the marketplaces and all of that. Some people are good at it. Some people are really, really good at that, and they spend a lot of time and effort researching that shit.
It's like real estate to me, you know, buying an NFT. If you really want to play it, it's like holding on to some real estate and waiting for appreciating value or something.
It also seems a bit more like almost like day trading. You have to really, you have to have a strong feel for the market, constant sentiment feel, and then set up your orders properly as far as selling, that where you'll actually be able to hit the order and sell.
Yeah,
I think NFTs are more straightforward if you get in really early and you don't mind being a bag holder. Like if you like the NFT and you want to keep it anyway, and it turns out you're also early, now you have an asset that you like, it's up in the green. And if you want to sell it in the future, you could, even in a bear market, it hasn't, you bought so low that it's like, you know, you're still in the green. And the number of people that actually are in that situation with their NFTs is small though. Unless you were there for the original mint and stuff.
Yeah, I guess it's just like I have. I mean, if you like the NFT, yeah, maybe. But it's like, as you said, you have to either watch the prices all day long, or you just have to sit in there for like 2 years and not give a shit about it, right?
Yeah, and you never know with NFTs if the crowd next time is going to like your NFTs, because each season, right, like there's a whole new set of NFTs. Like last time it was ETH NFTs, then it was like, and now it's like Solana, you know, like pump coins, you know, next time, and then it's ordinals or whatever. And like, you know, like there's some new video game to play each season. And there's no guarantee that if you hold for like 2 years or something that your token, your NFT is going to go up in value necessarily. So that's why, like, a simple question to ask yourself, if you're going to put a lot of money into a crypto or an NFT for that matter, don't ask yourself, like, what happens if it pumps and you sell it? Ask yourself, if you're wrong about it pumping and maybe it dips or maybe it goes into another bear market, is someone going to want it next time or not? And is your, like, are they really going to want it, or are you just delusional that they're going to want it? Like, and that's an easy thing to get delusional about. And if the answer is like, wait, next time, you know, 4 years from now, I don't know what the fuck NFT is going to be popular. And like, I don't know now what's like, if you don't know what's going to be popular NFTs in 4 years, you also don't know if your NFT is going to be popular in 4 years. Like, that's kind of an interesting mental model, but like, that's basically what it means, is you can't see the future. That is what it means. And then you're like, well, you can be deluded that your NFT is amazing or something. But I wonder, by the way, what are like the like punks and like Ether Rocks and all that shit that was out like in 2021? I wonder how those have held up in price and whatnot. I'm not sure. Maybe they've done pretty well. But like, usually, like, if there's a OG NFT for a blockchain, like, that had the highest cultural significance, those are probably stay up a little bit more. But outside of that, it's mostly just like trading JPEGs, essentially, like, that go to zero or something close to it, compared to like where a lot of people get into these things. I remember going to like NFT spaces where people like really actively discussing trading them and stuff. And, you know, people have some thesis, they decide to get some rare ones or the floor price ones, or like maybe not the rare ones, but the ones that are more fungible, like the ones that nobody wants that have like lower prices. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different strategies for how people traded those NFTs. And then on top of that, like the coin that you're trading them in, like ETH, for example, you might buy, I don't know, you might buy the NFT for one at ETH, let's say. And let's say the price of ETH goes up like 5x. Did your NFT also go up 5x in price? Or did people start pricing that NFT in like, you know, 0.2 ETH or something? Like it's possible to like use your appreciating asset for an NFT and then discover that like that money would have been better spent, you know, holding the layer one token if you're trying to make money. But anyway, a lot of different factors. But Zenya, you're saying?
I got curious as well how the punks were doing, and I've never seen this before. I don't know what term this would be called, but if you look at the punks chart, it seems to be following Bitcoin, but on a polar opposite scale. And it's probably because, like, if you look at the price of it, it drops as Bitcoin pumps. But
punks are priced in ETH, right?
Yeah. But ETH follows. But you know what I mean, though. It's
so I think people mentally price the thing in dollars, and so what they do is So what will happen is they'll
selling it off at the top, but really it's just getting lower and lower. That's so interesting.
See, that's the problem with what I was going to mention with NFTs. You have to understand that like that dynamic is there. Like if it's an NFT you bought with like stablecoin, and you're going to sell it in stablecoin, you understand what's going on. But when you spend an asset that you otherwise would have held and it gone up in value, and now like, because so it'd be like the equivalent of going and buying a TV at the store, and you know you bought it with a gold coin, gold goes up 5x, and now you go to the same TV and it's only worth like 0.2 gold because the TV's not worth, you know, $50,000 or whatever it is. Like, so you wind up with these repricings that happen in the NFT markets.
Yeah, to be fair, though, it's still worth, the floor price is still over $200,000. But but it's so interesting. It's maintained pretty well. It's so interesting because I've never thought of that, like that NFTs can be so overpriced that they follow the charts. Polar opposite, like on the wrong scale.
Yeah, because there's no one gonna be buying the NFT for $1 million. So therefore, like, it'll keep getting repriced to 200K, whatever ETH is worth.
Everyone's trying to sell at the top.
Yeah, they're trying to sell at a price that someone's going to actually buy it for. And it just so happens that ETH is going up in value. So that's what happens. And now it's still fine. Like, you bought like a CryptoPunk, you bought it at like, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever, and you're worth 200K now on your NFT, you're good to go, right? Like, but if you were anywhere in the middle or you bought high and now it's lower, then you just basically have this illiquid thing, which is fine too, if you don't mind owning it. It just depends on the person, obviously. But how did the Ether Rocks do? Remember those? Like, did they maintain their floors too?
You want me to look it up? Ether Rocks? Yeah. I've never heard of this.
Remember the little, like a literal pet rock looking thing? Remember that was like 2021? They're really common.
No, I faded. When NFTs first came out, I was like, you guys are all retarded. Bye. I faded NFTs hard.
I remember like when Meltem, she had an Apple Watch and she's like, look, I'm sporting my pet rock that I paid like 100K for or something like that. And she's flexing it on her Apple Watch. That was her wallpaper.
It's called Ether Rocks?
I believe so, yeah.
Are they just rocks?
It's like a pixelated rock. Like, it was a play on the idea of a pet rock. Yeah, it's a really simple rock too. It's like, it looks like a trapezoid, essentially. Like, there's nothing to it, really. Maybe like a trapezoid with like one little edge with a shade on it, so that it looks like it has.
Oh, three yeah, dimensions. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I found it.
Ether rock. Yeah, yeah. Funny shit.
Oh shit! Were these big?
Yeah, this is one of the biggest things. Yeah, that and CryptoPunk.
Oh, that's sad.
Why? What is it worth now?
Hold on. It's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
It's worth $1,000 now.
Is it that low? Really? Are we sure you're in the right one? Are you sure the right contract? Because I think there's some fake ones and shit too.
Oh shit, yeah.
I'm not sure which one's the right. Because 1,000 seems low to me. Because it was like one of the more culturally significant like Ethereum things.
Were they made in 2017?
No. This was like... this was all part of the NFT craze of like.
Are you sure they weren't made in 2017 and just got big?
Oh, I could be wrong. Yeah, it's possible.
I can't find if it's not these Ether rocks that are.
I find it would be unusual for it to only be worth $1,000 now.
Floor price passed $1 million USD. I see it. Hold on.
Yeah, the floor was over like a mil. It's hilarious.
But they only have 7,000 followers on Twitter. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about this Ether rock. This is weird. I don't know.
Maybe it's the wrong one.
It says,
maybe I'm on the wrong, or I'm calling it the wrong name or some shit. I'm not sure. It's possible.
It said their floor price exceeded 1 million USD.
Yeah,
but they only have 7,000 followers. I have no idea what this is.
This is the same type of thing that like the Bitcoin, like the wizards are trying to do, is trying to reach that cultural level. And I don't know what those are worth these days, but yeah, but the point is like with each chain, there's usually like one sort of like NFT project that gets kind of some level of significance, and if that chain becomes gigantic like Solana or whatever, then you might have the core projects or the core like cultural popular pet rock or whatever winds up being the big thing and maintains value. NFTs are otherwise hard to like, because you can make an infinite number of NFTs and there's not an infinite number of buyers, so there's no real true scarcity except within that particular project, and you know how those things go.
Yeah, I did find the right Ether Rocks thing.
It is the right one. Okay.
They're at 1,000. The floor price is 1,000.
Okay, that's pretty low. So they lost all of their value from a million down to 1,000. I noticed nobody's showing their rocks.
Well, I think that was a lie, because this is saying, what was their floor price at the top?
I don't know, it was crazy high though. But like, I haven't seen anyone with the Ether Rock as their profile pick, for example. Like, if it was hot shit, you'd probably still see it. I would think people flexing their money or whatever.
I don't think the floor price was ever 1 million USD. I think that was fake news from their marketers, because I'm not seeing that.
There certainly could have been some top prices like that, though. It was big, like quite big. And remember, people bought them. People bought these things using ETH at the beginning, right? So when ETH ran up real high, the value of the things, like at the time, might have been still priced in ETH or something. I'm not really sure. Because the market wasn't very mature back then either, like where people would literally sell them for ETH, not in the dollar value of the project. Now it's gotten to the point where it's like, that's not the case anymore. People reprice these things, like you notice, they'll price them in dollars and then the ETH value will go down.
No, I think that a floor price from EtherRock thing was just like a marketing thing. I think they're full of shit. The highest they ever got was 30K.
For the floor?
Yeah. I think they must have gotten into, like, they probably, I don't know, if I were to guess, like, something shady happened, people were dipping, and then they, like, tried saving it by, like, spreading fake news or something.
Who knows? Well, it was really popular for a while, though. It was, like, all over Twitter kind of thing. So, I don't know.
Was it?
It might have, like, I don't know what it was worth or whatever. Yeah, it's just one of those viral, like, sort of projects on Ethereum.
I mean, CryptoPunks are doing well. I wonder how. I think
Wintermute down. Wintermute's already always had one. He probably knows the history of it. I don't know if he's busy right now. Like, he knows about all this shit.
He's a rock enjoyer. Who?
No, Wintermute down below. He's got a CryptoPunk. I think his original punk, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't talked to Winter in a while.
I think the real Ether Rocks from 2017, there's just 100 of them, right? I mean, there's some other ones that are like ARP the name or something, but the real ones, they're just 100 of them.
And yeah, that's what I was wondering. There could be some bullshit ones too.
There's just like 10 or something ever listed on OpenSea at a time, and the floor price is really high, but they're not liquid, right? I mean, it's like, it costs like 500 ETH or something. So, better get lucky. You know? So,
Bruce just came back from walking, and they're actually boarding my plane now. Bruce, I'm boarding my plane now. Like, you went to walk, you went too long on your walking. Too much exercise going on.
Well, how long is your plane, and what's the flight number?
I've got like about 2 hours here. I don't know what the flight number is.
It's 737.
737. If I don't land, then if, like, you don't hear from me tomorrow or the next day, and something happened.
AI systems took down all the planes in the world.
The fucking wing fell off or something.
Every plane in the world falls out of the sky at the same time due to an AI hack.
Oh my God. I looked up Bored Ape Yacht Club, and I thought CryptoPunks, like, I felt bad for CryptoPunks, but Bored Ape Yacht Club, they're falling the fuck off. I thought they were doing tons of projects and stuff. Like, why are punks remaining so strong?
I don't know. I never understood the Bored Ape people in the first place. I always hated those monkey pics. They're fucking ugly. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, I don't know.
They send the cringiest DMs ever.
Yeah, that was a kind of like, yeah, that crowd was interesting. Like, I remember their spaces and whatnot, and they were very full of their pics. They're so very excited about their personal NFTs and like how amazed that they were about themselves. It was really interesting, like, watching that whole thing play out.
Yeah, I can't. The only community I can fuck with, honestly, is the Penguins. They're the only cool guys, in my opinion.
I think the Romelio crowd maintained their, a little bit of their vibe.
Well, a little out of control, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, they are like, but they stuck to their guns or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but you know, you like, have you ever met any penguin dudes? They're just all cool guys. Every single fucking one of them. Cool guys, cool girls.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think the Remilio folks are funny and stuff too.
They'll also like fucking kill you.
Yeah, it's true. I haven't had anyone to kill me yet, but I guess it's a matter of time. Between Lucas and Allie and whoever else, like someone, a Don Kryptonian, someone's gonna kill me eventually, surely. Anyway,
will you be back in the interim time between your next however many flights?
Oh my god, maybe. I've got to like step down in a couple hours from this, and if I survive that, then I'm stuck at the airport for the rest of the night, so maybe.
Okay.
Either that or I'll try to sleep for a while. So I've got to switch back to my days and nights again. So we'll see. If I can't fall asleep at the airport, I'll hang out.
Okay. Have a safe flight.
Okay. See you guys later.
There's this principle in like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches, when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror Spaces.